Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to Black College 9 podcast series. It's been a while. We normally cover the HBCU baseball head coaches, their staffs, and mainly their team rosters for their baseball programs. Today, as we return, usually at the Black College 9, we also do it with Mike Brown in the Mike Brown podcast. But I decided that I really wanted to speak to the former SWAC baseball coordinator of officials, Robert Holloway. Robert Holloway brings in an extensive list of credentials to it for the position that he was hired in 2021. In addition, he did umpiring for the SWAC, the SEC, Conference USA, Sun Belt, and Southland Conference. He worked the SWAC baseball tournament as crew chief for 5 years, as well as the Southland Conference baseball tournament as the crew chief for 2 years. He also served as crew chief for the Conference USA baseball tournament in 2019. He was also one of the commissioners, baseball officials, I should say, for the former Gulf Coast Atlantic Conference, which is now the HBCU Athletic Conference. It is an honored opportunity for Black College 9 to step away from speaking to our head coaches and talking to the coordinator of officials, Mr. Holloway, Mr. Robert Holloway. How are you?
All is well. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's our pleasure, because I've gotten to know you. I've gotten to know you under some circumstances, and some really good things have come out of it. We brought you on board with the Black College World Series. Your umpiring crew has been outstanding. I think that under your leadership, I think you are, and this is just me speaking, I think you rival. You're better than the SEC. I think you're better than the ACC and the Big Ten. And those are my thoughts. But I want to dive into, you stepped aside from being the SWAC official coordinator. And it seems like that, from my understanding, my reliable sources, that a lot of things were said, but we got down to the nitty-gritty of the truth. And it seemed like the coaches wanted their way, and you kind of stood in that way because you were doing things. You didn't want to step outside of the NCAA rules. Correct me if I'm wrong.
That is correct. And just going to say, Mike, I love the SWAC. I'm a SWAC player. I play baseball in the SWAC. I'm part of the SWAC. So to me, it was my dream job. And love doing what I was doing. I just felt like there had come a time after 3 years that we weren't on the same page as doing things like of the D1 programs for doing. I just wanted, I always tell our umpires that this is going to be the best in the nation. I believe that, and the point, and for us to do that, we're going to have to follow all of the NCAA protocols to get us to the point that we were being looked at the NCAAs for regional, that kind of thing. So it was my vision and my sight for the solution to get away from what they were calling a different culture. I see baseball as baseball, and you need to be doing the same things. And when we couldn't get on the same page with that, it was best for me to go on.
Well, with that being said, it's my understanding that the coaches wanted to scratch a list of NCAA rules and for division baseball, and they wanted to do away with the behavior treated differently for NCAA policy.
That information that you've gotten is, I would say, is correct. The NCAA policy says you can't stress an official from a ball game. And some of the coaches said like they didn't know some of the umpires at their places wanted to stress officials, and I was on board with that. They were also saying that some of our officials inject themselves into the game too much when they're just actually following every rule that the and policy that the NCAA has is for sportsmanship and that kind of thing. Some of the guys are saying we're in the swag, we're of a different culture, we do things differently, but in baseball, it's D1 baseball, once they finish the swag tournament, they're going to play another Division I school who does all the things that they're supposed to be doing. So we need to be doing those kind of things on a daily basis ourselves. And some of them didn't want to do that, and I chose not to compromise on those things.
Why was their behavior changing, considering that the SWAC knows that the governing body is the NCAA, and the NCAA is a tough entity that will come down hard on you no matter what? If you step out of bounds, they're this. So what do you think led to these changes from the concerns of the coaches?
Well, I can tell you this. In my 3 years with the SWAC, and I was turning the NCAA because we had a little rift at some point that the NCAA had never been to an evaluation to evaluate not one SWAC umpire. And I've worked the SWAC 22 years, and I never saw an NCAA umpire come and evaluate. And even when I made five regionals, they didn't come evaluating. When I came in at my first year, they didn't know. They sent Joe Lushney to the NCAA regionals because they never evaluated, but they took my word as to this was my best umpire. I thought that was an injustice to our umpires, and I told the NCAA that we need to be evaluated just like everybody else did. If we were to tell me what we're doing that's not up to par, and we'll get there because they want us to be the best in the nation. And the only way for us to show it is some prestige and some looks from the NCAA is to be good. So I needed them to evaluate us, and that was one thing I believe coaches in the past, I think the NCAA just said, hey, that's a slack over there, they do what they do, and they'll play in the regionals and get beat and we'll be done. I believe we were better than that. And I wanted that for our conference. I wanted the NCAA to be involved. And once they did become involved and started evaluating our guys, they started to see some of the things that we didn't do that was supposed to be done by NCAA protocol.
One thing that's disturbing was the weekend games. So the umpires were not paid, but had to stay and incur additional hotel and meal expenses.
Yeah, and that was for 3 years. I have tried to tell them that they could have conference was the only conference, the one conference that didn't pay the umpires if they didn't play the game and they were there the whole weekend. When I came in, we were that we would be least paid conference in America as far as D1. $700 for a weekend series. We were being sent all over the place for $700, and you didn't get any rooms, you didn't get any per diem for food, and you paid for your own travel. So some of the guys that were going out on these trips was not making any money. They was losing money at the end of the trip. We did get the money up to $11.25 per weekend series. But again, there was no weekend, no hotel room, no per diem, and no travel. Which, when you start looking at the 10 conferences that is comparable to the SWAC, when you look at the fee structure, the SWAC was good because they came in at numbers. Everybody else gave a room or they gave per diem, and the SWAC did not. So, which our on an average $125, when we look at all the things that they had to pay for, you come home on weekend series, that was $677 on an average. So again, it brought the SWAC down, in my opinion, to the worst paying conference in the nation.
With that being said, Mr. Holloway, I know for a fact that the SEC, the ACC, the Big Ten, and the Southland Conference, their umpires get paid for fall scrimmages. They get paid for fall ball. And I was informed that the SWAC took it in a different direction.
Yes, it is. Did not pay for SWAC, did not pay for fall ball. And because they were not paying for fall ball, they used it as far as the incentive for umpires, they had to do two fall scrimmages per year to stay in good standing. So that's the way to get them to go to the institutions. To do fall ball, they had to do two fall, and I just put that, I made that rule myself. They just had to go and work two fall scrimmages and be eligible for regular season assignment, so they weren't getting paid for it, no sir, they were not.
Well, my experience, and I'm not going to knock the SWAC for this, but my experience with the SWAC baseball programs, I always saw the umpire showing up in full gear at the start of before the start of the game and then after the game. There weren't facilities for them to make changes, to get showers, to clean their uniforms, their equipment. Why was that in the SWAC, but everywhere else I've gone to, it's been different?
I think we've gotten better at that. Most of the facilities now are providing places for umpires, a secure place for umpires to go and leave their equipment and dress in a facility and then either being transported by somebody from the university or being in walking distance to being able to go out and work a game. But I think the facilities now have gotten to a point where I think the institutions now might have a place for umpires to go dress and then come back, and if they want to shower, there's a place for them to shower. So I think that's been, not think, I know that's been covered pretty good by institutions.
Well, I know that the SWAC employs 109 staff umpires. Is that about right?
What I did, I'll tell you this. When I came into the league 3 years ago, and we'll start talking about this right here, the numbers for the conference was 70% white and 30% black umpires. We're HBCU conference. In my 3 year period, I wanted to reverse that trend and get a number of minorities in Division I baseball who didn't have that opportunity in the past. So we started to employ as many guys that I thought could work D1 baseball who I knew was not going to get an opportunity in somebody else's conference. Because this was the only conference that they were going to have an opportunity in. So we reversed that trend and made it 70-30 with minority being 70% and 30% non-minority folks. So I was trying to give our guys an opportunity to work D1 baseball, but I know they would
get an opportunity
somewhere else.
Well, from what I saw an excellent part on the umpire that, and it seemed to me like it was, and I could be wrong with this, it seemed like it was 50-50 because, you know, at the Black College World Series, you made sure that the umpires were not just black, but we had a whole culture there. And it was really fun because, you know, I go and I speak to the umpires before the game and after, and they made me feel comfortable just being around them. And then, you know, you hear the stories of, well, I've worked for the SEC, I've worked for the different conferences, and they all said under Robert, they really liked what you were doing. They really took to what you brought to the table. And the reason why I wanted to get this out there was because I have seen you in action. I have seen how you have helped the Black College World Series grow with the SWAC umpires. And for this to happen, you know, it raised a few eyebrows, not just with me, but some of our our Black college world theory members realize what Robert is doing, not just for the SWAC, but for the NAIA as well. So this was, I wanted to get down to the bottom of this. And I really thank you for coming on board and sharing this with us. As you know, the Black College World Theory is going to be May 7th to the 10th. You guys are on board with us for the live of the tournament.
Yes, sir. We are ready.
And we're going to continue to have you all on board. You have any final thoughts?
My final thought, Michael, every time I send an email out or talk to someone, you know, PSGTCLY, which means be so good they can't ignore you. That was my theme, that was my whole thing, everything that we did. We wanted to be so good we could not be ignored by anybody. And by that, I meant when somebody sees you, they're going to say, hey, man, you can think they have my program. He's professional, he knows the rules. He's going to do the job that they require for the NCAA, and they're going to be there to do it. So that was my whole purpose of the game. It was never about the money, because I could stay on PLS umpire day for money, and I'd be like a coordinator. It was important for us to have representation at the table at the NCAA like anybody else, and I had a big support to bring to you. And again, it was my dream job, and I'm so grateful for the fact that they gave me an opportunity to do that. And there's no hard feelings on my end. It could have been right off from the start, but as I look at it, and you know, it was what it was, and if I had an opportunity to do it again, I probably would do it again. So at that time, it was time for me to step away, and that's what I did.
Well, one thing I would like to share on this podcast is, the Black College World Series, we kind of overpaid the umpires, and we went to from a 4-to-3-man troop, so that left with an additional expense. Mr. Holloway wanted to send those funds back to him, and I said to him, no, let's do something different. Then you mentioned we give our umpires Black College the World Series ring after the event. So I dropped out that, so that was so outstanding that I said that what was left over, we could give to our members. And we all received the entire ring, which was better than the ring that we received from the baseball program that participated in the World Series and won.
Yes, sir. They have something to remember that they've been in the World Series, and we designed those rings, and we want them to have something to keep sight to. And then you said, man, I need to do that with my group of staff members, that 50 and that money there, and let's do it, and that's what we did. And man, then you guys start seeing the emails and notes and how grateful you were to receive those rings, and that was a special occasion for me.
Robert, I wear the ring every day.
Yes, sir.
And I'm proud because I get asked about it all the time. In actuality, the one you got us is, it looks a lot, I shouldn't say free, but it looks better than the 6 other rings I have from the World Series. So with that being said, Robert, it was a pleasure speaking with you. The next time I see you will be in Jackson, Tennessee. God bless you and God keep you, and I really appreciate you coming on board to handle this podcast for something that I feel would need it to be brought to the center.
And Mike, I really thank you for having me. I really need the success to tell my success story and to love this way and the family. So thank you so much.
Well, Mr. Holloway, this isn't the only time we'll do this. We have a future ahead of us, and we will reconvene on this, probably on a different subject sometime real soon.
Look forward to it. Thank you so much.
God bless you.